It's okay, I wasn't saying anything worth listening to. last weekend, Gail and I were in Gulf Shores, Alabama with, that happens to be my grandbaby. So there's two lessons in this picture. When somebody takes a picture of you looking down, you look much slimmer than you actually are. You notice there are no chins. Unlike most of my pictures, which are taken shooting up where there's like a whole pile. But the more important lesson is God's love for us is like a grandparent's love. If you have a grandchild, you love your grandchild because they were born and not for any other reason. As a dad, my love is often more along the lines of manipulative. And, you know, we've talked about that in our family. But a grandparent's love is just there because the person's there. And that's how God loves us. So we're going to be talking for the next while about in the book of Colossians. And to start off the book of Colossians, we're going to start in chapter 3, which makes no sense at all. And the reason we are is I was really excited about these verses, which is why I wanted to talk about Colossians. So we're going to start in Colossians 3. I have the scripture up on the screen, but we're going to be concentrating on a few verses. And if you want to have your Bibles open, that's fine. And if you don't, my melodious voice will put you to sleep in no time. So we're going to read the first 14 verses of Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these two you once walked, but when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It's a lot of verses. And I read those verses, and I get tired. Because in the verses we read, there's 11 things you're supposed to stop doing, 8 things you're supposed to start doing. I counted them. You might even get more. And you're to put off something, and you're to put on something. And I'm exhausted, but even more than that, I used to hate portions of scripture like that. I really didn't like them. And why was that? Because there was another list of things that I was supposed to do that I was going to fail at, and I was going to end up being a failure. And that's how I lived most of my Christian life, reading things that were unobtainable for me, undoable for me. So over the past years, I've really changed the lens that I view Scripture through. We've talked about this. We read Scripture through lenses. We may not agree that we do, but we do. We view life through lenses, how we interpret life. So we can interpret Scripture through law. My relationship with God depends on what I do. Or we can interpret Scripture through grace. My relationship with God depends on what God has done. Now, I would say for most of my life, and I'm sure I'm speaking for many people, they would say, well, yes, I've come to Christ through grace. There was nothing I could do for my salvation. But now, my sanctification is up to my effort. So we read that list of 11 things we're supposed to quit doing and the 8 things that we're supposed to start doing. And what is even worse is the list just goes on. I quit at verse 14. It goes on for a whole lot of more stuff. And we start thinking, how am I going to do that? How can I possibly do that? And then you reach a point, as I did years, not too many years ago, where you just basically sink into cynicism because you can't do it. And then you've realized, I'm here in this Christian culture. I don't have anywhere else to go. So I just kind of sit there because I can't do it, but I can't admit to anybody that I can't do it because nobody could admit to that. What I really want to look at is the first 4 verses, because if you don't understand the first 4 verses of chapter 3, you're not going to be able to do the rest. You're not going to understand the rest. And once you understand the first 4 verses of chapter 3, the rest, all those 11 things you're supposed to quit doing and the 8 things you're supposed to do and the whole pile that comes afterwards, it actually becomes simple and logical. And it doesn't become a burden. It just becomes natural. I know you don't believe me. Some of the cynics among us are still checked out, but come through this with me. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So the other night, Gail and I were lying in bed, and I recited these verses to her. I had to say that so that you know I actually memorized these, because now you're going to think more highly of me. I'm kidding. But I did actually say them to Gail, and I said, when you were growing up, how would you have understood those verses? So she gave me an answer immediately. Her answer was, think about heaven, avoid worldly things. That was her summary of those verses. And I had to realize that was probably how I would have thought about it years ago. I said, well, what's worldly things? And the worldly things varies whatever church you go to. In her particular churches, don't smoke, don't dance, don't drink. Those were the 3 worldly things. So she got the message out of that we're supposed to think about heaven, which actually when you think about it, we have no idea what that means. And you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't dance. Paul, when he writes, whenever you read the if, then, or if, it means if and you have. If you have been risen with Christ, and yes, you have. If we're risen, it means we've died. And in here it says, you have died. What are the things above? Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. You have died and are risen. So, Romans chapter 6, and we talked about that a while ago, it says that we are united, we're fused. We are become one with Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. It's not just figurative. In some way, in a spiritual way, that event actually happened to us. And then in Romans 6, it also says that we died to sin and to the power of sin. And then in Romans 7, it says that we died to the law and its power over us. Colossians We died to something else. And that's what we're going to talk about, what we died about. Because when you understand what you died about, then the rest follows through, and those 11 things that we are to stop doing and the 8 things that we're supposed to do follow along logically. So we need to understand what we died to when we're talking about in Colossians. So we're going to back up a few verses. We're going to go to the end of chapter 2. And I'm going to read these verses, verses 20 to 23. If with Christ, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Some of you know that's the one I started using. And why did I start using it? Because it was free. That's a terrible reason to pick a translation, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. The guy who's teaching us Bible went the cheap way. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits, and I've got rudiments up there because those of you who are using a King James will see the word rudiments. And actually, I want you to remember that word. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you're still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish when they are used, according to human precepts and teaching. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and aestheticism and severity of the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If with Christ you died to the, use that King James word, rudiments of the world, why is, if you're still alive in the world, do you submit to its regulations? So, that word's important. It's translated different ways. Basic principles, I think, is what the New King James Version uses. Elements is what the Christian Standard Bible uses. Other people, the English Standard Version says elemental spirits. If you understand what that word means, then this all makes sense. So don't let your eyes glaze over. This is a formal definition. I'm going to explain it. The word rudiments means any first thing from which others belonging to some series or composite whole takes their rise. Don't even think about that definition. It's the word used for sounds. There's a different word for letters. It's the word used for sounds. So if you remember back when you went to school and you were learning to read, they would say, sound out the word. So, makes no sense as individual parts, but as components, it makes sense. So what this word rudiments means is the basic building blocks on which other things are built. The basic building blocks on which other things are built. The sounds out of which we construct words. Elements from which other things come. The same word is used in Peter in one of those epistles where he says the world is going to burn up. The elements are going to burn up. And it's also used in Hebrews where it says that you should be more advanced in your teaching, but you're still doing basic principles. So it's a word that means basic principles, things out of which other things are constructed, sounds that make words. It also means the stars, and we're talking about the zodiac. You know, we read our, well, of course, nobody's going to admit they read it, but if you do read your, what's it called, astrological page? The zodiac is to exert influence. The stars are to exert influence. At the time Paul wrote, one of the Galatian heresies, we're in Colossians, one of the Colossian heresies, was that of Gnosticism and special understanding, and that the spirits controlled the world, and you could control the spirits by doing certain things. which is why that translation that I'm using uses the word elemental spirits. Verse 8, chapter 2, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the rudiments or the elemental spirits or the elements of the world. This is the basic building blocks of how society works, is what Paul is talking about here. So if we think about our society, what's the foundation of our society? It's consumerism. Our society is built on the consumption of items, which is interesting after 9/11 occurred, that the president said we should all go shopping. Because if society quit shopping for 2 or 3 days, society would fall apart. So what are the building blocks of consumerism? We get a good education, we get a good job, we work hard, we consume. The other aspects of the building blocks of our society are we're individuals, we're self-made. I was talking to Samuel about being in Alabama last weekend where everybody was there as family groups, and he says, yeah, in Egypt where I come from, family group is very important. Here we're individuals, and there's a lot of reasons why. But part of that is the building block of our society, and that we are who we make ourselves out to be. That's the rudiments of North American, European society. And there's a cause and effect. We make life work for ourselves by doing certain things. I'm belaboring this point for a reason, which I'm going to tell you. And the next thing is making religion work for you. If with Christ you died to the rudiments of religion, why, as if you're still alive in the world, do you submit to its regulations? So what are the rudiments of religion? Well, the rudiments of religion go back to the fall. Is there anything wrong with wanting to be like God? Which is what the temptation in the garden was. You can be like God. Is there any greater aspiration for a human being than to be like God? Humanly speaking, in this world, the answer is no. So the rudiments of religion is we work to make ourselves better with God. The rudiments of elemental spirits is we have an agreement that if we do certain things, God will bless us. And if we do certain other things, God will punish us. And although we say we live in grace, we conduct our lives that way. The basic building blocks of religion: do this and don't do that to earn God's favor. And we believe, but we would never admit that, that God's blessing on us has depended on our behavior. And I've been faithful, so why has fill in the blank occurred? I've done what you've asked me to do, so why has, and for all of us, the fill in the blank is different. But we don't realize how much we conduct our lives that way. And so when things happen in our life, when our dreams and aspirations fall apart, we have no basis for interpreting it because we have misunderstood the Christian message. We've misunderstood who God is. This is from the Christian Standard Bible. If you died with Christ to the elements of this world, and the reason I liked this was the second part of how they interpreted it. Why do you still live as if you belong in the world? So what Paul is saying in Colossians 2 and 3, in those first four verses, if we have died to how life works in this world. And we have died to how religion works. And Paul uses the, and he's speaking specifically to the heresy going on in Colossians, which is a combination of Gnosticism and Jewish, Greek Gnosticism and Jewish Gnosticism. And we use the phrase Gnosticism, but there's currently a religion right now that's very famous, which is a Gnostic religion. Who's the movie star that's in, the short guy? Tom Cruise. What is he? That's a Gnostic religion. There is a Jewish Gnostic religion. It's called, begins with the letter K. Kabbalah? That's Jewish Gnosticism. Although this was written 2,000 years ago, same thing's going on now. So anyhow, we have died to how religion works. We don't handle, we don't taste, don't touch. Paul, as he's saying this, he says, all those things that you're saying you got to avoid, I mean, you eat them and they become something else. And we don't smoke and we don't drink and we don't dance. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are no value in stopping our behavior. Our behavior will not change by living under the rudiments of religion. We will continue to do those things. We will continue to be defeated. We will continue to have, what's the old word, besetting sins. So let's come back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So we need to move beyond the interpretation of those verses as, think about heaven, avoid worldly things, don't smoke, don't drink, don't dance, or don't chew tobacco. We have died to how society works and how religion works, and now we are risen with Christ to something new. So, when you think about it, we carry all of those worldly, I hate using that word. We carry all those way the world works into faith. So, you're with a Christian organization. You want to get somebody for a board member. Who do you get? Somebody who's successful in business. Are they spiritual? Well, if we're lucky, they are. But that's how we choose things. How do we choose everything? We're choosing things based on a world system that we have died to. And we try to change our life based on a world system that we have died to. Seek things that are above. Set your mind on things that are above. So here's the question. What's above? What's above now? What's in heaven now? So I dropped verse 4, Colossians 3, 1 to 3. I want you to read those and tell me one thing that you would say is in heaven right now. You can actually speak out loud. Christ. Okay. What else is in heaven right now? God. One more thing. It's up there. Me. You. We're hidden where? In Christ. When? Now. Now, how that actually is, I don't understand. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. So right now in heaven at this moment, I don't know if there's mansions. I don't know if the new city is built. I don't think they are. Because, I mean, does God take, you know, God's projects always come on time and under budget, unlike any of our household products or projects, which are always 5 years in the making and way over budget. But right now, with certainty, we can say, God is in heaven, Christ is in heaven, and we are in heaven. Setting our minds on things that are above means to live out of who we are right now in heaven by God's basic principles. God's, what was that word from the King James? Rudiments. Not by who we are here on earth, by the world's rudiments, basic principles. Here's the thing. We already are who God has said we are. We don't have to make ourselves something that we're not. So what's the rudiments of religion? I make what I do that's right, what I do that's wrong, determines my relationship with God, determines my closeness with God. That's the rudiments of religion. Law is by my actions, I determine God's dealings with me. Grace is by God's actions, who I am is already determined. I am already who He has said I am. And we, by the world's, what's the rudiments of our society now? Get a good education, to get a good job so that you can consume, you can make yourself something more than you are. And we take that into our faith and we say, I've got to study harder to overcome that sin. I've got to work harder on my prayer. I've got to, and you could fill in the blank. Or the other part of that is, these things are happening to me because of God's not keeping His part of the bargain. And that's where we really run into trouble when we start with the mindset of, I did what God asked me to do. He's not keeping His part of the bargain. This is what God says we are. Right now, I'm not who I used to be. I am a new creation. Right now, I am holy, blameless, above reproach. That's who I am right now, sitting here. And right now, I am absolutely complete. There's nothing God can add to me. Now, if I live by the world's standards, if I live by the world's system, if I live by religion, then I've got to make myself better. I've got to do this. I've got to quit doing that. Let's read these verses again with that in mind. So we had died. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Even that last verse, it seems a little weird, but it actually is pretty simple to understand. I'm in heaven now. Physically, I'm not going to be there till Christ appears. Then I'm going to be there. I'm going to be with Him. So, all of those scripture passages that I would not want to read, that I would want to gloss over, because I was already defeated by them. The things I was supposed to quit doing, the things that I'm supposed to do now, they don't have to leave me defeated. When we live out of who we are, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. I mean, that's just who we are. It's not difficult. It's not hard. I've already put off the old man. And we're going to read that in Colossians when, I can't remember, somewhere in there, where who we were has been cut off and removed. And we've already put on the new man, but sometimes we have to remind ourselves to do that. There's that bumper sticker, and I can't remember if I've used this example. If you feel distant from God, who moved? The answer is nobody moved. You just forgot who you were. Because God didn't move and you didn't move, you just forgot you were a child of the King. We let Christ live through us and we become the new man. And the new man is Christ living through us. So those things we were told to put off, that becomes our new nature. And those things we were told to put on, that becomes our new nature. And it just makes, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that because that's not who I was. Well, yeah, I'm going to do that because that's who I am. And it's not that I do those things to become somebody different. It's I do those things because that is who I am. That is my new nature. That is Christ living through me. And then maybe as I let Christ live through me, you know, my love for people around me can be more of a grandfatherly love instead of a dad manipulative love. And maybe my interactions with other people will be full of compassion as Christ's were. And maybe those things that we read in Colossians 3 about there's neither Jew nor Greek nor male nor female, those things actually become true in our lives as we let Christ live through us, as the new man comes out of us, as our new nature comes through us, not because of our actions, but because of letting Christ live through that. Because Romans 6 told us we died to sin and the power of sin. Romans 7 told us that we died to the law. The law no longer has power over us. And Colossians teaches us that we died to the principles of religion that says, I have to make myself better. Let's close in prayer. For Father's Day, we're quitting early. Father, you love us with an unconditional love. You laugh at our attempts to make ourselves better because you know we can't. And you are just longing to live through us. We need to let you do that. And it's hard, and it seems funny to move beyond you, us working hard to make you happy, and us just resting in what you have already done for us. Thank you that you love us. Amen.